Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community. And welcome to Nature Mystic with Selena Fox, a podcast where we enjoy encore presentations of topics covered by Circle Sanctuary's Senior Minister, Selena Fox, from her previous podcasts, Circlecraft Studies and Nature Folk. Tonight's encore presentation is from Circlecraft Studies from 2016, where Selena discussed ancient and contemporary ways of celebrating the ending and the beginning of the calendar new year. Good evening, everybody. So we got David here and Jeanette.
Hi.
Hello. And tonight we're going to be leading a ritual that can be done now. It can be done anytime right before or even right after the new year of 2016. So if you're listening now, great.
Yeah,
you can participate along to your own level of comfort.
Or listen to it later on, download it. If you're listening to this, download it later on. Thank you for downloading and listening to us later on. We really appreciate that. And this will be available to download for those who wish to do so. Yep. So, New Year's. This is sort of a time of reflecting on what you've accomplished, what's happened the past 12 months. You know, we tend to celebrate. What's kind of nice about the pagan traditions is that we celebrate New Year's at the end of October, many of us do, and then we celebrate New Year's with everybody else at the end of December. So we get to celebrate New Year's twice a year. So, you know, we're kind of blessed, I guess, in that way that we get to celebrate New Year's a couple of times, and, you know, we get to do that. We have that opportunity.
That opportunity,
yeah.
For reflection and review and meditation,
mm-hmm.
and introspection.
Mm-hmm.
These 2 months, actually more than 2 months, between Samhain until really well after the winter solstice, we know that from an astrological standpoint, they are the darkest times of the year. We are losing more and more daylight minutes until the winter solstice, and actually we do not start to gain a minute a day until around December 31st. So from the winter solstice, or Yule, pretty
yeah.
much through the new year, time really does seem to stand still. And this particular year, this particular Yuletide solstice season leading up to 2016, we had a full moon on
the 25th.
Yeah, on the 25th. So we are actually now in a lunar waning moon phase.
Right.
So it's actually a really good time to think about and reflect on what has happened in this year and start thinking about those things, those people, those habits,
mm-hmm.
that no longer suit you. It can be small or large. So start thinking about that as we get ready to start our ritual. So take a few deep breaths, ground and center yourself. And we're going to begin by casting this circle of light and community to connect those of us listening and participating in the here and the now and those participating time release in the future. Imagine your sacred space, wherever that may be for you, being surrounded by a warm light, a warm yellow-orange glow, like the hearth fires on a cold winter evening. And now visualize that light, that warmth, resonating beyond your sacred space, out beyond the confines of the place where you live, and visualize a beam of that light reaching out to connect to all of those listening here and now.
Okay, well, that was the wrong previous episode. So we're going to start again with tonight's program one more time. Welcome to Nature Mystic with Selena Fox, a podcast where we enjoy encore presentations of podcasts covered by Circle Sanctuary Senior Minister Selena Fox from her previous podcasts, Circle Craft Studies and Nature Folk. Tonight's encore presentation is from Nature Magic from 2016, where Selena discussed ancient and contemporary ways of celebrating the ending and beginning of the calendar new year.
Welcome to Nature Magic. This is Selena Fox, and tonight we take a look at New Year magic. Now, the new year can be celebrated at different times of the year, depending on the type of New Year connection that one has and what one's tradition is. Certainly for many pagans, including those of us connected with Circle Sanctuary, we celebrate spiritual New Year at Samhain, which in the Northern Hemisphere is late October, early November. But we also celebrate Solar New Year, which is on or near December 21st. And we see that the calendar New Year is actually a form of Solar New Year. So for me personally, as well as many people in the Circle Sanctuary community, we have a series of New Year celebrations and observances. Samhain, more rooted in spiritual tradition, and the calendar New Year, incorporating the secular as well as spiritual dimensions of the sun cycle. Tonight, I would like to share with you some old and new ways to welcome in the calendar new year, and know that some of the things that I will be sharing with you can be adapted for use for other types of new year celebrations. New year has at its heart a threshold crossing. Old year turning to new year. Old year passing, new year arriving. The month of January is named for a Roman god, Janus, often depicted as having two faces facing in opposite directions, one looking at the year that's ended, one looking ahead at the year that is coming. And for many people, that image of a look to the past and a look to the future, is a powerful symbol for the threshold dimension of New Year observances, and in particular, New Year magic. So what do I mean by New Year magic? Magic focusing attention and intention in making transition and transformation. So I'd like to share some types of New Year magic, rituals, meditations, symbols to work with. Some of these are from the past and continue to be part of celebrations today. Some are very much emerging from the here and now, personal experiences in terms of my own traditions, as well as connecting with others and experiencing their traditions for the calendar year changeover. The first thing to suggest is, rather than having one thing to mark the transition, is to have a series of magical, sacred, and day-to-day life observances and connections. Why do I suggest a series? Well, it really is grounded in threshold work as a whole. You prepare to move through a gateway, a doorway, a threshold. And there's five aspects to that. There is the preparations and planning, considering what choices are. And hopefully tonight's workshop on New Year magic will aid you in your own planning and preparations. Then there is the activity of beginning the process, starting to manifest the threshold experience. The third phase is the moment of threshold, of transition. The fourth phase is concluding the threshold passage. And the fifth phase is integrating and carrying on the experiences, the learnings, the transformation. In this sense, it's similar to the work that can be done for ritual as a whole, and a particular kind of ritual, that of walking the labyrinth or making pilgrimage to a sacred place, doing the planning, gathering together what's needed, making the journey to the place, having the experience at the place, concluding the journey and returning, and then integrating it, growing as a result of the threshold experience, of the sacred visitation encounter, the labyrinth walking. You'll see parallels with these processes. So by having a series of activities, it helps focus your attention on the work at hand, and it also helps with your intention being focused on the threshold work. A really powerful way of doing New Year magic is to take a look at the year that is in the process of concluding. I call this year in review. Year in review can be done in a variety of ways. One way is to go month by month, beginning with January at the start of the calendar year. What I find helpful is to actually use a written form, or for those who prefer to do work with an electronic device, a computer, a mobile device, or whatever, that would work as well. And to make a list of each of the months, and then starting to call to mind things that have happened that have been significant, that have been enjoyable, that have been difficult, that have helped you grow. And as you go month by month, to make some notes of what you recall of activities, of reflections, of transitions, of things you've accomplished, of problems you've had to deal with and solve for each of the months. Now, you can be very linear about it and pretty much go month by month in sequence. But part of what might work better is to reflect on the year as a whole and start calling forth some of the significant points in your year and then jotting them down under the month or months that you have had the experience. Another way of doing year in review is to take a look at a journal that you may have kept, a dream journal, a daily reflection journal, a photo journal. One of the things that I've found helpful is to take a look at photographs that I've taken over the past year. Some who do social media will find looking at posts that one has done over the past year can be really helpful, whether it's Twitter or Facebook or one of the other social media methods, is to take a look at what you've posted, what images you've used, what links you've used, and to make a note of that as you do your year in review. Now, the purpose of year in review is multifold, actually. Part of it is to refresh your memory and to allow yourself, as the year ends, to take deeper understandings of your year as you conclude the calendar year and prepare for the next one. What are things that you liked? What were things that were hard? What were things that you learned? How are you better as a result of challenges you've faced, experiences you've had, vacations you've taken? And taking a look at your inner life, well as your life in the world, can really help you prepare for the threshold of ending this year and moving into the next year. Another reason to do this is to take a look at what you could do differently in your life as you move into the new year. What's something you would like to try? What are some things you would like to build on that have been successes in the past year? What are some habits that have proven worthwhile that you want to continue? What are some habits that have been problematic that you would like to dispel? Another important thing about year in review is by taking the larger look at the year, it will help you vision possibilities for what's ahead. And it will have you focused on endings and beginnings, closing out the old, moving ahead with the new. Sometimes, as one does the year in review, one recognizes there's some things that still need to be fixed or dealt with. And another powerful bit of New Year magic is what I call making amends and completions. So this could take the form of, if you promise to do something and you haven't done it yet, well, before the end of the year, you would make good on that promise. If someone has borrowed money from you or you've borrowed money from someone else, an old tradition is to settle debts before the end of the calendar year. Or if that's not possible, to at least make contact about that and to agree on a plan to bring completion to that. Forgiveness. Forgiving self, forgiving others. Clearing up emotional incompletion. Being able to bring closure to something. Closing one door so that a new door will open. The idea of completing unfinished business before the end of the year is something that various people have done in connection with New Year observances. Another aspect is to do what I call purification, decluttering, to take an area in one's life, to let go of what is not needed, to clear space, to move in better, more productive ways. Now, this could take the form of an area of one's home, clearing away clutter that's piled up, reorganizing it, going through stacks of paper, deciding what to keep, what to let go of. It can take the form of working with a computer, a mobile device. You know, what apps do you keep? What apps do you get rid of? Reorganizing files if you have a desktop computer, going through email, working through that. So it can take the form of reorganizing in a lot of different ways. I think planning, scheduling, rhythms of life can also be part of the threshold experience. Do you need to incorporate in your life more clear space, unplanned space, time to unwind, to relax, a way of de-stressing by creating space to just be? Related to decluttering, purification, reorganizing is what I prefer to call repatterning. Some people will call this resolutions. And a lot is made of make a resolution for the new year. Well, certainly one can do that, and that can be helpful. It's a form of planning for how to take the energy of the new year, the transformation, and have it start manifesting in a good way after you've passed the threshold point of entering the new calendar year and starting to integrate it in your life. But resolutions too often are associated with make them and break them. Instead, I think a better term is repatterning, is to really look at your rhythms of life, your way of being, how you process thoughts, your self-talk to yourself, and look at new ways of having patterns that lead to a healthier, happier, more peaceful you. With repatterning, you're signing on to a process rather than a specific goal by a particular time period. Goal setting and time periods can be really helpful if you are inclined that way, but it's better to think first of the larger process that you're working with and then do a series of things to move you in that repatterning mode and to check in and to tweak and to move forward. So now some things to do in addition to year in review and doing completions, decluttering, and repatterning. Create a space in your home that would serve as your new year altar. Set it up New Year's Eve, or you can set it up tonight even. Set it up, have a symbol of the new year. You may have a candle or some kind of light, and put some objects on your altar about things that you want to bring into the new calendar year. And you may want to put some traditional symbols in as well. The acorn is often a New Year symbol. And part of that goes back to Holly King, Oak King mythology, common in many parts of Europe. The old year passing, the Holly King fading away, the new year coming, the Oak King. not only oak leaves, but the acorn, symbol of potential and good fortune. An hourglass, representing time. A scythe, symbol of father time, Chronos amongst the Greeks. And Saturn amongst the Romans, or the grandmother of time, Anna Perenna. Some like to use the color of gold to represent the new solar year and the new calendar year. Some like bright colors on a New Year's altar. And the altar itself serves as a representation of the transformations that you seek to have happen within you, within your social network, within the world. So, in addition to having symbols of the new year and personal symbols, you may wish to also have some symbols, some expressions of support and well-being for loved ones and for the planet, the community of life on planet Earth as a whole. Fire, flames, fireworks. Kindle a light, kindle a flame in connection with New Year magic. It could take the form of kindling a candle, could be an electric or battery operated candle if you're in a place where flames aren't permitted. Kindling the candle as a symbol of new life, of the celebration. Fireworks are common in urban areas as the calendar year changeover happens. And one of the things that I endeavor to do, if I happen to be by a television on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, is take a look at news reports. Often there will be a showing of the fireworks that are signifying the dawn of the new calendar year in different places across the time zones going around the world. Certainly I've also been able to connect with that on social media, on the internet, and that's another way of being able to view it. Fireworks and flames of different types have been associated with welcoming in the new year since ancient times, and something that I do in my own life, and part of my household tradition, is to kindle a hogmanay fire, a big bonfire. And my husband Dennis and I prepare the space. He does most of the fire building, but we both are part of those that kindle the fire. And we have an enormous bonfire to represent old year passing, new year coming. So we'll cast into the fire or have in the fire some symbols of things that we want purified, released from our lives, and then as the fire is kindled, we cast into it. Sometimes it's dried mistletoe, sometimes it's acorns, sometimes it's sage or rosemary or some other sacred herb, in celebration of the new year coming. It's wonderful to be outdoors and to see a large fire glowing and feel the warmth of it and the light of it. And we typically have others with us as we do our Hogmanay fire. But we also have our own kind of candle lighting as the New Year time approaches. Kindling candles on our mantle, kindling a fire in our hearth. And so the days leading up to and the days following the transition of calendar years, we typically are celebrating with candles and with hearth fire, as well as having an evening close to the first of the year where we have our Hogmanay fire. I'll take a few moments now and just talk about Hogmanay. Hogmanay is an ancient Scottish celebration of winter solstice and the calendar year changeover. In ancient times, chances are it was right at solstice time. But since 1600, there has been a kindling of the Hogmanay fire on December 31st. Yes, King James decided that the calendar year in Scotland would start on January 1st. And old traditions of Hogmanay started happening then on what we now call New Year's Eve. Where did Hogmanay come from? What does the name mean? A lot of speculation. Is it French? Is it from one of the Scandinavian languages? Is it some other name that was distorted and gave us the word? Well, regardless, there's many different theories about it. That's the name that it's most known by now in Scotland. And it typically starts as the New Year's Eve time comes on. Technically, Hogmanay itself is New Year's Eve going into New Year's Day. But in many parts of Scotland, and Edinburgh being one of those places, Hogmanay is actually celebrated for several days and nights, just as solstice and Yuletide is by pagans in many different places and of different traditions. Rather than a particular moment, there's also the idea of being able to celebrate over several days and nights. Some people are aware of a tradition with Hogmanay and didn't realize that's where it came from. And this leads me to another way to welcome in the new calendar year, and that's singing. The song most commonly sung as midnight happens is Auld Lang Syne. Robert Burns, a poet from Old Scotland, took some folk melody and some words and brought us the song that we have today that's sung by people of many languages, of many places, countries, different spiritual traditions, walks of life. It is being sung the world over now. It's become a New Year's Eve, New Year's Day welcoming song. So something that you may want to do is not only sing the song, but get the words to the song off the internet or in one of the books that has New Year traditions listed, and to learn about ways of singing it. The melody is pretty commonplace, but Some people sing it exuberantly, and some people sing it more meditatively. And certainly one can go to the internet, something like YouTube, Vimeo, whatever, and you can get a variety of different variations on how to sing Auld Lang Syne. Singing, really powerful way of welcoming in the new year, and something that's quite traditional. I've gone to a number of New Year's Eve, New Year's Day parties over the years, and one of the other songs that have been sung in some places I've been at is the song Imagine by John Lennon. So Auld Lang Syne comes down, and then people go into some exuberant cheering, and then focus on peace and imagining world peace as a thing that one does together with others as the new year comes in. Another tradition is that of expressing affection, hugs and kisses, expressing appreciation to loved ones. It's done prior to the changeover time, it's done at the changeover time, and done following the changeover time. Can be all in one evening over the course of several days and nights. Some people see New Year's Eve and New Year's Day as a time to renew acquaintance, to renew friendships, connections with loved ones, family, and friends. Some will send out greeting cards for solstice and New Year's. Some focus just on New Year's. Certainly, one of the ways of strengthening connections and being in touch is the New Year's letter. And this is often included in holiday cards sent through postal mail and or through email. Sometimes it's posted in a blog. Sometimes it's posted on a Facebook page. Each person has their own style there. But the idea is to share the year in review with others and to learn from others about their year in review. So it's a way of being in touch and keeping connections up. Another powerful thing to do at New Year changeover time is divination. Now, this can be done through a particular system such as Tarot or some other kind of oracle cards. It can be through rune casting or cowrie shell casting or some other method in which one works with a divinatory tool and a system for meanings and will use that to get guidance from the year that is passing away, guidance for the here and now, guidance for the future. Divination might focus on all three or may focus on a particular question that combines all three. For example, the question can be, give me guidance for the coming year that will help me grow beyond what I have been able to do in the year now passing. Or it can be simply put, guidance for the new year come. One type of divination that I do myself and that I've taught others is what I call the wheel of the year. And I take a card, draw a card for each of the months of the year to come. I begin by picking a card that represents the here and now, or self, and I have that in the center, and then I put 12 cards around the central card. Sometimes I'll draw a 14th card and place it over the center card as an overall guidance card for the year as a whole. Another method that I've used working with cards is a three-card spread. A card for the year passing, a card for the immediate time, a card for the year ahead. Another form of divination is to have guidance using cards for five aspects of life and consciousness. And it's a pentacle spread that I use. A card for Earth and the physical dimension of life, one's physical health, one's home, one's finances. A card for guidance on one's intellect, knowledge, learning, communications. A card for one's activities and vitality, ways of being in the world. A card to emotional health and relationships. And a card about spiritual life. Earth, air, fire, water, spirit. Another way of doing divination is more free form, to gaze into a hogmanay blaze or a candle flame or a hearth fire as one calls to mind the year passing. And in using this method, I like to have different types of herbs, and I'll cast them into the fire if it's a hearth fire. So I may use some rosemary into the fire as I reflect on the year passing. May cast in some sage as I reflect on connecting with the here and now, and cast in some mugwort as one looks into the fire for visions, insights of what's to come. Some prefer to scry in a bowl of water or into a crystal or some other means. And another way of doing divination as part of New Year magic is that of dream work. Prior to going to sleep, having some paper and a pen next to your bed, and to write guidance for the new year to come. Write it down. Then as one's dropping off to sleep, having that phrase in mind and giving yourself the suggestion that you will sleep well, that you'll dream deep, you'll remember your dreams and get an understanding of the dreams that you have. When you awake in the morning, before you do anything else, is the call to mind the dream or dreams that you have had, and then jot down notes or a narrative in your dream journal, in your dream notepad that you've set up if you don't have a regular journal. Put that all down, and then after a time, take a look at it and read it over and reflect some more, and to see what guidance comes from your experience of doing dream divination for the coming year. Another tradition for New Year magic is that of toasting and wassailing, using beverages. They don't have to be alcoholic, although certainly wassail and toast, be it a whiskey or a wine or a champagne or a beer of some sort, certainly having some kind of beverages, not only as part of a New Year's Eve and New Year's Day celebration, but to toast, to call forth a blessing for the new year. Now, with wassailing, it's an old tradition was to go into an apple orchard, and the wassail would have apple cider, often fermented or with some other alcohol, added to it, and spices, and one would be singing to the apple trees with the thoughts of not only appreciation for the crop that had come in, but to bless the orchards as the new year comes, so that in the next part of the growing season that they will do well and bring abundance. There may be the pouring of some of that wassail on the ground, or an asperging of the trees with some of it. Certainly humans sometimes will be toasting in a cup or a mug or in a drinking horn. Another way of toasting is not only calling on blessings, but honoring forms of the divine that one wants to watch over you. And if you're in a social situation where there's a group of you all doing it, watching over your group, not only the celebration itself, but the year to come. A really wonderful practice connected with the new year, and it is magic, is the magic of giving. Volunteering, giving funds, giving items to a nonprofit organization that you wish will prosper in the year to come, or it could be direct giving to someone in need. There, in the U.S., there is a very pragmatic piece to charitable giving. If you're giving funds, that if you make your donation before the end of the year, before the new year begins, then when tax time comes, you can claim it for that calendar year. Regardless of what you end up giving, the idea of sharing with others, benefiting individuals, benefiting organizations, benefiting groups, is a way of expressing connection and appreciation and helping others. So a really powerful form of magic is charitable giving. Of course, there's socializing, there's merrymaking, there's parties connected with concluding the old year and welcoming in the new year. And it's great to be able to be face-to-face with people if that's possible. But if you find yourself needing to be on your own, there are ways that you can connect with others in your imagination and in social media, and through watching celebrations on the internet or on television, and being able to connect with each other. And related to this is the tradition now for New Year's Eve and New Year's Day is to recognize that most of the couple hundred or so countries in the world work with the calendar year system that we have, January to December. Being aware of being part of a global human experience can be really powerful. So one of the things I like to do is to spend a few moments at this New Year threshold and experience celebration the world over to mine qualities of hope, peace, love, freedom, justice, calling forth healing, plenty, well-being, not only for humans, but the greater circle of life of which we are all part. These are just a few of the ways that New Year magic can happen. It can happen quietly through meditation. You can do a ritual at the time of the threshold moment, or right before or right after. You can be exuberant at the threshold moment. Indeed, in addition to singing, certainly making sounds exuberantly, cheering, calls of Happy New Year. Some places will go outside with pots and pans and bang on them to make a great clamor. Some have noisemakers, whistles, a ringing of bells, drumming, rattles, making all the sounds. Some say that exuberant sound making is an old tradition that is chasing away the old year and welcoming in the new year. It's fun, and I do think, regardless of which activity or activities you weave into your own New Year magic traditions, that having fun and letting the joy of the time be part of your process can be a wonderful thing to do. But having that connection with others is something that will carry you the year through. So in conclusion, I wish you all a wonderful new year, a great welcome to the new year coming, and that we all carry with us understandings that have come from the old year now passing away. May we have peace, love, joy as we do our New Year magic. May we have wisdom and courage, hope, vitality as we move through the threshold.
Our carpet is white and of the good ale and the true, some nutmeg and ginger is the best we can brew. Fold it all, doll, fold it all, the doll, fold it all, the doll, fold it all, the ding, fold it all, fold it all, sing to rely. Our wassail is made of the good ale and the true, and so my good neighbor will drink unto thee. Besides all of that, there are apples in the store. Pray let us come in, for it's cold by the Fall the doll,
so now is come our joyful feast. Let everyone be jolly. Each room with ivy leaves is dressed, and every post with holly. Though some churls at our mirth repine, round your foreheads garlands twine. Drown sorrow in a cup of wine, and let us all be merry. Now all the neighbors' chimneys smoke, and Christmas sods are burning. Their ovens they with baked meat choke, and all their spits are turning. Though others' purses be more fat, why should we pine or grieve at that? Hang sorrow, care will kill a cat, and therefore let's be merry. Now every lad is wondrous trim, and no man minds his labor. Our lasses have provided them a bagpipe and a tabor. Young men and maids, and girls and boys, give light to one another's joy. And mummers too, you'll by their noise perceive that they are merry. Now kings and queens poor sheepcoats have, and friends with everybody. The honest now may play the knave, and wise men play at noddy. And those that hardly all the year had bread to eat or rags to wear will have both clothes and dainty fare, for here they will be merry. Then wherefore in these merry days should we, I pray, be duller? No, let us sing some roundelays to make our mirth the fuller. And whilst we thus inspired sing, let all the streets and echoes ring. Woods and hills and everything bear witness we are merry.
Thank you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.